Greetings, my dear listeners. Tonight is the first night of 1001 nights that Shahrazad's stories will help us and the king to go to sleep and hopefully not murder anyone. This is the tale of the trader and the genie. It is told that there was a merchant of merchants who had much wealth and business in various cities. One day he mounted his horse to go to other towns to carry out his business. As he was riding for a while, the crushing heat of the sun exhausted him, and he saw a tree in the distance. So he decided to rest under the shades of this tree and break his fast. After eating some bread and dry dates that he brought with himself, he threw the stones of the dates. And behold, an ifrit appeared, huge of stature and brandishing a drawn sword, wherewith he approached the merchant and said, "Stand up, that I may slay thee, even as thou slewest my son."
"How have I slain thy son?"
"When thou atest dates and threwest away the stones, they struck my son full in the breast as he was walking by, so that he died forthwith." So the merchant said, "Oh my God, I didn't do that on purpose. Please pardon me," the genie said. "There is no help, but I must slay thee." Then he seized him and dragged him along, and casting him to the earth, raised the sword to strike him, whereupon the merchant wept and said, "I commit my case to God," and began repeating these couplets. "Containeth time a train of days, this of blessing, that of bane, and holdeth life a train of halves, this of pleasure and that of pain. Seest not when blows the hurricane, sweeping stark and striking strong? None save the forest giant feels the suffering of the strain. How many trees earth nourisheth, of the dry and of the green? Yet none but those which bear the fruits forecast of stone complain. Seest not how corpses rise and float on the surface of the tide, while pearls of price lie hidden in the deepest of the main? In heaven are unnumbered the many of the stars, yet ne'er star but sun and moon by eclipse is overta'en. Well, judgest thou the days that saw the faring sound and well, and countest not the pangs and pain whereof fate is ever fain? The night have kept thee safe, and the safety brought thee pride. But bliss and blessings of the night are genders of the bane." The merchant was repeating these couplets, and the genie got exhausted, so he said,
"Cut the shit, man. I need to slay thee."
So the merchant turned to the ifrit and said, "Look, I have a lot of things to take care of. I have children, I have my wife, I have a business, I have some debts to make sure that they are going through. So, if you just gave me 1 year, I will come back to this place exactly in a year, and you can get your way with me." And this genie of our story is acting surprisingly reasonable. So the genie took sure promise of him and let him go. So he returned to his own city and transacted his business and rendered to all men their dues. And after informing his wife and children of what has betided him, he appointed a guardian and dwelt with them for a full year. After this year was passed, he decided to go on to fulfill his promise. It's when his neighbors and kin and kith began weeping and wailing and beating their breasts over him. But he travelled until he arrived at the same garden, and the day of his arrival was the head of the new year. All this story with the deal and going back and coming after 1 year, it reminds me of the movie of a movie that I watched recently. Its name was The Green Knight. Anyway, so our merchant goes to the same place and sat under the same tree, and he was thinking about his fate as he saw an ancient man approaching, leading a chained gazelle. The sheikh saluted him and said, "What is the cause of thy sitting in this place, and thou alone, and this be a resort of evil spirits?" The merchant told him the story. and he said, "Thy faith is none other than exceeding faith, and thy story right strange. Were it graven with gravers, were it graven with gravers on the eye corners, it were a warner to whoso would be warned. I will not leave thee until I see what may come to pass with thee in this ifrit." As the merchant and the ancient man were sitting and discussing the happenings of the past, a second person, ancient man, Sheikh, approached them, who had two dogs, both of greyhound breed and both black. And he said, "What causeth you to sit in this place, a dwelling of the Jann?" So they told him the story, and he joined them in their conversation, as the third Sheikh approached, and he was with a she-mule. So they told him the story from the first to the last. There he sat down with them, and lo, a dust cloud advanced, and a mighty sun devil appeared amidmost of the waste. Presently the cloud opened, and behold, within it was that Jinni handing in hand a drawn sword, while his eyes were shooting fire sparks of rage. "Arise, that I may slay thee, as thou slewest my son, the livestock of my liver." The merchant wailed and wept, and the three old men began sighing and crying and weeping and wailing with their companion. Presently, the first old man came out from among them and kissed the hand of the ifrit and said, "O Jinni, thou crown of the kings of the Jann, were I tell thee the story of me and this gazelle, and thou shouldst consider it wondrous, wouldst thou give me a third part of his merchant's blood?" The genie rejoiced, "If thou tell me this tale, and I hold it as a marvellous, then will I give thee a third of his blood." Whereupon the old man began to tell, "Know, O genie, that this gazelle is the daughter of my paternal uncle, my own flesh and blood, and I married her when she was a young maid, and I lived with her well nigh 30 years. Yet was I not blessed with issue by her. So I took me a concubine who brought me the boon of a male child, fair as the full moon, with eyes of lovely shine and eyebrows which formed one line." So that was considered attractive back then. "And limbs of perfect design. Little by little, he grew in stature and waxed tall. And when he was a lad, 15 years old, it became needful I should journey to certain cities, and I travelled with great store of goods. But the daughter of my uncle, this gazelle, had learned grammarie and egromancy and clerkly croft from a childhood. So she bewitched that son of mine to a calf, and my handmaid, his mother, to a heifer, and made him over to the herdman's care. Now when I returned after a long time from my journey and asked for my son and his mother, she answered me, 'Thy slave girl is dead, and thy son hath fled, and I know not whither he is sped.' So I remained for a whole year with grieving heart and streaming eyes until the time came for the great festival of God. Then sent I to my herdsman, bidding him to choose for me a fat heifer, and he brought me one which was the damsel, my handmaid, whom this gazelle had bewitched. I tucked up my sleeves and skirt, and taking a knife, proceeded to cut her throat, but she lowered aloud and wept bitter tears. Thereat I marvelled, and pity seized me, and I held my hand, saying, 'Bring me other than this.' And my cousin cried, 'Slay her, for I have not fatter nor a fairer.' Once more I went forward to sacrifice her, but she again lowered aloud, upon which I refrained, and commanded the herdsman to slay her. He killed her and skinned her." Wow, that was brutal. "But found in her neither fat nor flesh, only hide and bone. And I repented when penitence availed me naught. I gave her to the herdsman and said to him, 'Fetch me a fat calf.' So he brought me my bewitched son. When the calf saw me, he brake his tether and ran to me and fawned upon me and wailed and shed tears. So I took pity on him and said, 'Bring me a heifer and let this calf go.' And my cousin responded, 'Needs must thou kill this calf. This is a holy day and a blessed, whereon naught is slain save what the perfect pure. And we have not amongst our calves any fatter and fairer than this.' I said, 'Look thou upon the condition of the heifer which I slaughtered at thy bidding, and how we turned from her in a disappointment, and she profited us on no wise, and I repent with an exceeding repentance of having killed her. So this time I will not obey thy bidding for the sacrifice of this calf.'
Oh my God, there is no help for it. Thou must kill him on this holy day. And if thou kill him not, to me thou art no man, and I to thee am no wife. Now, when I heard those hard words, not knowing her objective, I went up to the caliph, knife in the hand. At this moment, Shahrazad perceived the dawn of the day and ceased to say her permitted say. Her sister quoth, how fair is thy tale, and how grateful, and how sweet, and how tasteful. Shahrazad answered, what is this to that I could tell thee on the coming night, were I to live? The king said in himself, by God, I will not slay her until I shall have heard the rest of her tale. So they slept the rest of the night in mutual embrace till they fully break.
That's good.
Then we have a regular king's day when he takes care of the issues of the land. So the first night comes to an end and the girls live. And Shahrazad leaves us and the king on a cliffhanger. Sleep tight.